Hey, good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Sean Harris, Berean Baptist Church, and this is a Christian commentary on the Tulsa race riot of 1921. This past week, I learned about a tragic event in American history that occurred 99 years ago in the same week that George Floyd died during a decade that's typically classified as the Roaring Twenties. Now, first, I was listening to National Public Radio, and I heard a reference to the destruction of black wealth in the Greenwood District, and I realized I had no idea what we were talking about. Now, bear in mind, I have an undergraduate degree in American history, so I was really bothered that I had no idea what they were talking about. Now, a few days later, I sat down to watch 60 Minutes around 9:30 on Sunday night, and I got about a 12-minute education, 13 minutes, on 2 days of American history I was completely ignorant about. Since that Sunday, I've read and watched more about this untold human tragedy. In 1921, there's a thriving black community living out the American dream in the Greenwood District, separated from the rest of Tulsa, Oklahoma by a set of railroad tracks. There were doctors, realtors, lawyers, businessmen, hotels, restaurants, specialty shops, etc. Booker T. Washington called it the Negro Wall Street of America. By law, it was segregated, but through human effort, it was thriving. It was, by all accounts, the best example of economic success from an American dream perspective. Wealth from oil creating wealth for all, and hardworking black men and women were prospering, unlike blacks from the past or any other location in the United States. White residents of Tulsa were growing jealous and envious of this growing wealth and prosperity by non-whites. Christians and Jews understand this envy to be a sin. It is a violation of the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, Exodus 20:17. In fact, the commandment says you should not covet your neighbor's house, you should not covet your neighbor's wife or male servant or female servant or ox or donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Exodus 20:17 is not an arbitrary commandment from God to make life harder. God knows our fallen hearts well. He knows what happens when envy and jealousy over economic success are left unchecked. And the Greenwood Massacre is Exhibit A in explaining why all humans must guard against coveting our neighbor's prosperity. On May 30th, in the year 2021, something happened between a young black man, Dick Rowland, and a young white woman, Sarah Page, in an elevator between the first and either the third or the fourth floors, such that she yelled and the police arrested him. The next day, the Tulsa Tribune made much of this potential sexual assault, and whites and blacks showed up at the city courthouse, both to ensure justice occurred. Whites, threatened by the black males, desirous of ensuring that America did not have mixed-race babies, wanted the young man lynched. Blacks wanted his day in court. Both sides were armed with guns. Someone shot first, and chaos ensued. Mobs of whites made their way to Greenwood to teach blacks lessons about their place in society. There was rioting and looting more intense than anything we've seen in 2020 in Minneapolis. The pictures of the total destruction of businesses and homes are the equivalent of what one sees from a tornado. Fueled by envy, this was a tornado of hate. Witnesses testify of private planes dropping kerosene or turpentine fireballs on the top of buildings to burn them to the ground. How much hate must you have in your heart to drive to an airport and fly your private plane over buildings in a particular part of town to set it on fire? The Tulsa Fire Department did not attempt to put out one fire. Those present testified that the police force either turned the other way or even participated. It took the Oklahoma National Guard to establish martial law. Consider with me for just a moment how many of those white males were in church only 2 days earlier. Did the preacher read that morning from 1 John 13:15, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him"? To suggest that none of the whites who perpetrated such hate upon fellow Americans were in church on Sunday is ridiculous. For 200 years, America was a nation of church attenders who justified and tolerated racial hatred with very little consideration that I can't love God and hate my brother. 1 John 4:20. Our book of James proves to be very helpful at this point. James writes, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Chapter 3, verse 16. "You desire and have not, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight." Chapter 4, verse 2. In Tulsa, whites killed those who got in their way as they looted personal property. That which could not be carried away was destroyed and burned to the ground. In 2 days, decades of economic prosperity went up in smoke, and insurance companies refused to honor the policies of black homeowners and business people. The city buried as many as 300 blacks in mass graves without obituaries, funerals, or any record of who died and the location of the graves. Today, 3 sites have been identified as possible mass graves, but the ground has yet to be disturbed. Jesus described hypocrites as those who clean the outside of the cup, but inside are full of greed and selfish indulgence. Matthew 23:25. Greed is an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth. To this day, not one person has been charged with a single crime from this massacre on innocent black Americans, many of whom had just returned from fighting for their nation in World War I, a nation that turned its back on them when they got home from fighting for it. The federal government did nothing to force Tulsa or Oklahoma to prosecute the criminals or compensate the victims. Christians understand that God ordained government to be the entity responsible for punishing those who do evil. 1 Peter 2:14. While the American Red Cross and local churches did much to help alleviate the suffering, the city of Tulsa turned away donations from the outside to help rebuild the Greenwood District. Imagine if the fire department refused to respond to your house fire and you had to take your own insurance company to court to get them to pay your claim. Yet in this case, every insurance claim was denied, totaling $2.7 million. Now remember, that's 1921, $2.7 million. The desire to have more is not sinful, but it can quickly become sinful when the desire is covetous in nature. Am I envious of someone else's success? Does their success motivate me to work harder, or does it promote envy? Do I look inward and ask, what could I do better? Or do I look outward and identify all that isn't fair? Do I begin to nitpick the other person apart? Or is my envy so intense that I'm blind to it? Do I want wealth so much that I'm willing to steal for it? Given the right conditions, would I join a mob in wanton destruction of wealth and prosperity to take what I wasn't willing to work to own? Am I even more prone to envy and hatred when it's someone from a different ethnicity? Are there ways where I may be more okay with a white person succeeding than with a black person, or the reverse, a white person succeeding than a black person, depending on my ethnicity? For months and years after the massacre, black women would see white women walking through Tulsa's streets wearing their jewelry. Think about that. In 2 brutal days, Black Wall Street was destroyed in what may be the greatest example of why I must put to death the sin of coveting each time it appears in my heart. Colossians 3:5. In the end, whites burnt 1,400 homes to the ground, destroyed 35 city blocks, killed as many as 300 image bearers of God, and 10,000 people were left homeless. In 1997, a Tulsa Riot Commission was formed by the state of Oklahoma to investigate the riot and formally document the massacre. The commission found that the equivalent in today's dollars of $33 million worth of destruction and loss occurred. As of today, Tulsa or Oklahoma has not compensated anyone for their loss. 100 years later, millions of dollars of damage are happening again. $55 million in Minneapolis alone. And sin is still the cause. The sins of envy and hate are just as powerful today as they were 2,000 years ago when the Jews demanded that Pilate hang a brother from a tree and boldly answered, "His blood be on us and our children." The people of God have always been expected to be those who seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause, Isaiah 1:17. Christ expects the righteous to do right until he returns or calls us home, Revelation 22. Thousands of years ago, Cain was angry and potentially quite jealous of his brother, and God told him, "If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Genesis 4:7. Cain did not rule over his sin and murdered his brother Abel, and since that day, sin is an ever-present enemy of all humanity. But the good news is, sin does not have to reign in our mortal bodies. God told Cain, "You must rule over it." Nothing has changed. I must rule over the sins of coveting, envy, hatred, and prejudice, all of which lead to racial animosity we are experiencing today. Thanks for listening.